for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
This is a Saturday afternoon service, July the 8th, 1989. Tape number 21A of the Summer Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Rod Johnson is the teacher for the afternoon.
We got two more services and camp meeting will be over. What service is this? 21. This is the 21st service we've been in since last Saturday night, not counting the afternoon men's and women's sessions. So if we add those in, we'll have about 30 services by the time we finish tomorrow. But Brother Johnson, he's going to minister this afternoon, and we pray the blessing of the Lord on him as he comes to minister. Rod Johnson.
Good afternoon. Let's stand together. Bless the Lord. Good to see you back. One of my young friends is back. I was hoping she could come back. Hallelujah. I'd like you to agree with me in prayer this afternoon that you would allow and that I would allow and that the Lord would perform a miracle of revelation to us in the area of hidden, I call them closet hindrances, things that are hidden that we oftentimes aren't aware of. And we walk through life with them, and we know we're supposed to have the victory. It runs hand in hand with iniquities, actually. But so much of the time, in my marriage relationship with my wife, I'm learning it more and more every day, we see spiritual activity in action against us that we don't recognize. And I'm asking the Holy Spirit of God to reveal to you and I. But it's going to take more than just a revelation, I found. It takes an obedience for me to accept the revelation and do something about it. And, well, that takes courage. It really does. So we're going to look at things along that line, the Lord willing. Father, as we come together this afternoon, we stand in awe and we thank you for the many words that have been taught, that have been preached, that have been explained to us, that make us so aware of your greatness, of your awesomeness, of how you are in authority in this world. You are a great and mighty God. Lord, so many, many words have come forth. Lord, I pray that they would become life in us. Lord, open us up to the ministering of your Holy Spirit. Let us not tune off the convicting power and the revealing power of your Spirit. But instead, Almighty God, may we come with a humbleness and a determination coupled with the right amount of zeal that would not stir self-emotion, but that would stir holy emotion, that we would get a job done this afternoon. Lord, I pray that you would bless these people with an alertness and that there would be a mighty moving of God and that the delivering power that is ours through the power of Jesus Christ would take effect and that Satan would be delivered and driven from the realms that he still holds in some of our lives. In Jesus' name we pray together and everybody said, Amen. You may be seated. Hallelujah. I need to organize a little bit here again. Do my bookwork and my secretary work. And we'll start with the most simple of scriptures that we learned many, many years ago. And the subject that we want to attack and learn about, or not attack, but that we want to learn about, is walls. I'd like to deal with walls, the subject of walls. And I am finding, as we are traveling more and more now and ministering in a personal way in meetings, that we are a people that have many things hidden in a closet of our hearts that the hornets are starting to drive out through a word of knowledge. And through the word of knowledge, as we minister, there is a resistance to the releasing and allowing the walls to be broken down because of hurts and so forth. And I feel that it's the timing of the Lord, at least for this age or generation in this time period, that we deal with these things. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 19, verse 19. And I'm sure we can quote it by heart. And actually, I'd like to back up to verse 16. And behold, one came and said unto him, Good Master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. If we are going to enter into victorious life abundantly, we must have a relationship with Christ whereby we yield to the nature of the Holy Spirit, and it flows through us that keeping the commandments is not a struggle of resistance and warfare, but it is one of where we rest in the arms of the Father and we enter in without even, I would say, a voluntary will, but it is just our nature to do so because our nature is consumed by the presence of Christ. And he saith unto them, which Jesus said then, Thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thyself, neighbor, as thyself. And that's the scripture that I really want to end up on. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The biggest hindrance in my relationship, in our relationship with growing into the fullness of Jesus Christ, is that events in my life from before I was formed or as I was formed in my mother's womb, in addition to curses, in addition to inherited iniquities, and then add to that the sins that I have committed since I was born, both voluntarily and involuntarily, cause me to see myself with eyes that, generally speaking, are not eyes of the love of Jesus Christ. And what I am finding that we must do is we must learn to humbly, not with vanity, learn to have the love of Christ towards ourselves. Because if we don't see ourselves with the love of Christ, and we are the temple of Christ, we cannot, as the Word says, and that action love is a perpetual giving forth love, we can never hope to minister the love of Christ with an authority that's going to defeat the enemy and let the church come forth without spot, wrinkle, or blemish. Okay? So we need, and God is doing in this hour, He is ministering to us to crush the things that are hidden, that we might be able to look at ourselves and say, with the love of Christ, I love myself. And that is a pure and a perfect love. It's not a vain and conceited love. It's not a haughty love. It's not a persecution type love of woe is me. It's not a love that says, I am so tired and whipped and beat for the cause of Christ that I can hardly go on. But instead, it is a love of the best way I can describe it is a gushing forth of victory is ours, and we're going to accomplish it in Christ. Okay. Now turn with me to Isaiah chapter 26, verse 1. By the way, if you get sleepy or the chair gets hard, you'll not hurt my feelings if you stand up and move a little bit, and I don't think Glenn will mind. It doesn't interrupt the flow of the Spirit for me. The main thing is that the Holy Spirit ministers to us, and I know afternoons are are a little tough sometimes. So that's the critical thing. And we won't let it be disrespectful. All right? Isaiah 26:1. In that day this song shall be sung in the land of Judah. Now Peter tells us that we are appointed to be a praise to his glory. The land of Judah is a praise land. It is a land appointed to be a praise to his glory. We have a strong city. Hallelujah. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. We see that an identification of what a wall is in the realm of the Spirit is that it is salvation for those who are living in a strong city, in a victorious city, in a city that has conquered the enemy. Okay? So we see that a definition, biblically speaking, of walls is salvation. Now, the word salvation, for those of us, we need a refresher sometimes. It means deliverance from something. Hallelujah. It means deliverance from original sin. It means deliverance from total destruction by the enemy. It means deliverance from other than original sin. It means deliverance from slavery and bondage to a foreign spirit, such as demons and so forth. It means deliverance from sickness. And it means delivered from other types of infirmities. In essence, what salvation means, if we can sum it up, is if it does not qualify to dwell in the realm of heaven, we need to be delivered from it. Okay? So we need to learn to take a look at ourselves in the mirror, so to speak, in the spiritual mirror. Bless you. And we need to say, in fact, when I'm working with the teens or with others on this frequently, I'll have them write down the list of things that they are aware of that are hindering, that are not heaven-qualifying conditions in their life. And, of course, Psalm 113 teaches us that we are to prosper in all things, that it is will of the Lord that we have this victory and that he would bless us in all areas and in all territories of our life. Okay? Now, another thing that I would like to just touch on for a minute is the definition of the word Jerusalem. Amongst the translations, it carries with it this. It is a place of the double portion of the peace of God going forth. Or it is a dwelling place where the double portion of the pouring forth of the Holy Spirit goes forth. Who is going to have a double portion of the Holy Spirit? Hallelujah. But it is those in the last days. I believe it's the First Fruits Company. It is those people who are in those days who are living in a condition when demonic forces are so strong that a force of God that exceeds even what happened in Acts chapter 2 and so on of the first church exceeds that power in a double portion. Because the Word teaches us that we should ask of the former and the latter rain at the same time in that season, and it shall go forth. And God is not going to give us a double portion just to give it to us. I wish sometimes that he would. But he is a God of purpose. And he doesn't flippantly hand out his Holy Spirit with authority and power. And we're being trained that way more and more to be cautious as we ask for his Holy Spirit power. Excuse me. Now turn with me to Isaiah chapter 4, verse 5. We need to establish this principle also. The Lord will create upon every dwelling place of Mount Zion and upon her assemblies a cloud and smoke by day and the shining of a flaming fire by night. But this is the sentence that excites me. For upon all the glory shall be a defense. Hallelujah.
You see, the double portion of the Holy Spirit of God is the realm that we are going to be walking in if we have a willing attitude of deliverance in this time, and it will be a defense against the demonic forces that are attacking. And in fact, it will be a deliverance to them because we will be ministering forth with a double portion of the peace of God that surpasses understanding, and the power of God shall slay the enemy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I hope I'm not repeating myself from former camps, but I'll never forget one day I was battling with a spirit of fear because of the end times and because of things that I had seen. And it's quite a spirit. But more than that, the things that I had seen of the conditions. And I dare not go into that. And I don't mean to be super spiritual by it. It's just the way it was. And as I was seeing these things, I thought, God, there's no way. I just don't have the strength to stand up under those conditions. And he agreed with me in his goodness and graciousness. He said, you have the right understanding there, son. I thought, that's not very comforting, Lord. But he said, come with me and I'll show you a picture. And he took me into the realm of the Spirit, and we walked across America together. And we were in a very high place. And the fruit of the Spirit was going forth from me continuously. Now, the fruit of the Spirit are many different things, but it's the very, in essence, the very nature of Christ was going forth. And it was protecting me totally from the evils of this world, and they could not touch me. And I'll say that we have no thing to fear. And, of course, there's biblical examples of this. I think of Stephen being stoned and so forth. But you read Fox's Book of Martyrs and we'll understand this better too. But we need to understand the biblical principle that as we enter into the last days, the Spirit of God in His love for you and I is ministering deliverance to us to call us up into a high realm so that we might be protected and not destroyed, that we might be an instrument of righteousness. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. Now, look at Revelation chapter 21. This is more like a Bible study than anything for a few minutes. In Revelation chapter 21, verse 2, I just want to interject a side note. You know, you wrestle. The Lord had given me two different things I felt that I needed to bring. One was to the body of Christ. I have something burning that I know must go forth. And then last night as we were sitting there, he started ministering this to me and during the meeting. And I thought, oh, Lord, here we go again. What's going to happen? But I feel that he's directing us this way and he may change it, but I don't think so. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, new there is restored, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. I touched on this last camp meeting. We'll touch a little bit more on it. The words coming down here are one word, actually, in the original language. And they mean a process of descending from one realm at a pace of walking, and the descending is a consuming descending in opposition to a force that's coming against it. Hallelujah. So we see a restored double portion of the peace of God is descending out of the perfection realm of heavens at a slow pace. And it is bringing with it a force of a consuming fire in reality. And there is a force that is coming against it. But the double portion is consuming the force that's coming against it. Now, this is not an instant thing. Remember that one of the fruit of the Spirit is patience and another one is long-suffering. The two that we like to X out and not talk about so much. But I find that they are extremely necessary, especially in this last age. For they go hand in hand with the coming forth of the pure nature of Jesus Christ, of His church. Hallelujah. Okay. Now, in verse 10, it says of Revelation 21, By the way, for verse, let's go to verse 9 so that we get the context of this. And there came unto me one of the seven angels which had the seven vials full of the last plagues, and talked with me, saying, Come hither, and I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. Well, now, if the messenger with the seven last plagues still had the vial full of them, it means that the last plagues had not been poured out. Isn't that right? The second thing we must see is that the bride, the Lamb's wife, there has been a consummation of the marriage, and the fullness of Christ is coming forth. Hallelujah. The bride has been prepared, the bride has been adorned, and now she is the bride's wife. She has been consumed by the presence of Christ. Hallelujah. Okay. Oh, glory. Woo! I love this word. Praise the Lord. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. And I want to key on that word, out of heaven. For that out of heaven is a gradual process again. It's not an instant thing, but it is a gradual process of going forth. And I want to show you how it's used in Revelation in other areas. Look at Revelation chapter 10, verses 1 and 2. And actually, it's coming down. The same word is coming down. And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head. His face as it were the sun, his feet as the pillars of fire. And he had in his hand a little book open, and he set his right foot upon the sea and his left foot upon the earth. That is a process of the Word of God in its purity coming through the vessels, the chosen and faithful ones who are full of the Holy Spirit of God, bringing forth the Word of God to bring forth the judgment of God and the life of God. And it is a process that is a gradual descending upon this earth to consume the earth. Hallelujah. Okay. Let's look at it in one other area. It's a revealing of the nature of Jesus Christ in a gradual process there in 10:1. Let's look at chapter 18, verse 1. And I believe we're living in the age where this is actually happening right now. That's my own personal belief. You can set it aside. It's not a salvation issue. But, and after these things, I saw another angel come down, there's the same word again, from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, and it goes on to discuss Babylon, and it's issuing a call, and the voice is, Come out from Babylon. Come out from Babylon, my people, lest ye be hurt. So an angel is not necessarily a heavenly being sent from heaven as what we might think of an angel, but it also can be a messenger sent by God. Okay? So we need to understand that there are various methods of interpreting that word angel. I personally believe it's the Holy Spirit of God dealing with us, and God the Father directing the Spirit to lead our understanding, that the system of Babylon teaching in the church realm is evil, and that it's ministering in a gradual way, that we must come out, we must come out, we must come out. And there are stirrings all over of people who know that they can't stay in the false religion traditions and the false religion teachings, and yet we're at a point now, let this minister to you, we are at a point of transition. And points of transition are this. We have left what we know was comfortable because it's no longer, but we're going to something unknown and we're not there yet. And there's a lot of unrest going on the inside of me. Isn't that right? And we just don't know. There's a lot of unsurety. We're unstable. And we need to cry out in faith that we become stable. God, increase our faith that we might be stable. Now, it's at this area that we are the most vulnerable for satanic attacks. And that's why all these false doctrines are creeping in. And, of course, it's a sign of the last time, too. But because Satan knows we're willing to grab at anything right now to see if there's a morsel of truth in it. Therefore, we need the power of the Holy Spirit to discern that which is right, that we might not be deceived in a time of vulnerability. Amen. And we need to know the Word of God inside out. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay. Look at chapter 20, verse 1. And I saw an angel coming down again from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. It is that same gradual thing as the power of God is released. The authority of Satan is going to be bound. Until the power of God is so forceful that Christ can establish his authority as King of Kings and Lord of Lords and rule and reign through his people for a period determined as 1,000 years. Hallelujah. You know, we like to think of things as instant. But unfortunately, I'm sure the Israelites would have liked the thought of wandering in the wilderness as instant. That grew into 40 years and then 40 years. Isn't that right? But the timing of God is one that requires patience, which teaches you and I that He is God. Hallelujah. Okay. Now turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4. I may get in trouble. I'm missing some pages. I don't know if that's one or not. I've got to make the switch. The most painful switch there is from one Bible to another. I think I got enough of this page left. No, because I don't know where it is. I go by place on the page, not by name of street and address, and that's not good. And be renewed. Oh, we better back up. 22. That ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Now, the name or the word renewed here means to change our course of direction and flowing. When we were paddling the canoe down here, I found that it was easy to float one direction on that river. But I found that there was more, especially if I sat in the back because the front went way up. And the little girl that was riding in the front, she thought she was on maybe a Ferris wheel going down the river. But as we were paddling, it's difficult to paddle against the current. It's very easy to want to go flowing with the current or the trend of the times. But what the Lord is speaking to us is that when we receive, when we are born again, and we know it, but we need to see it for the purpose of today, that we have a spirit that is birthed within us that is called an incorruptible seed. Isn't that right? That means it cannot be corrupted by sin. There is no sin that can touch that seed. Hallelujah. Peter says it. And that seed is going to grow and cause us to turn, to flow, contrary to the ways of the old nature. And to be renewed in the mind, then, is to change the flowing of our mind. And to put on means to be clothed with. And that means we get dressed gradually. Okay? In Colossians 3:10, it also talks about this. Let's quickly look at it so it becomes life to us this afternoon. Before you read it, I want to ask you a question. Is there anybody here that does not get angry anymore? Something's wrong then. Let's read verse 8. But now ye also put off all these. Anger. Uh-oh. Well, something's wrong right away, isn't it? Wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communications out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. And we have. The old sinful nature has been taken away from us. We have been
rebirth with the new holy seed. But the part of being put off is just as gradual as the part of being put on. Now, the forces that cause the things we should be put off can be demonic, or they can be lazy flesh. And we need to learn to discern between the two, and we need to attack accordingly. And if it's demonic, we can be oppressed or we can be possessed. And if it's just lazy flesh, we need the word, and we need to pray, and we need to fast, and we need the edification of one another to minister, and we need to get involved in letting the love of Christ go forth. Hallelujah. In verse 10 it says, "And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created them." In both cases, that word "put on" is like dressing, putting on our clothes. And it talks about in the image in our mind, and that we have been created now in the image and in the likeness of none other than Jesus Christ our Lord. So now, come with me on a quick journey. If we have within us the sleeping authority and power, it's really not sleeping, but we're holding it back, a power of the mind of Jesus Christ, then in order for that to come forth, and as we call forth the mind of Christ in ourselves, we must slay the enemies that are battering themselves against the mind of Christ coming forth. And I find, as I study the scripture, that these are like walls, and that the walls of righteousness are hovering around and protecting the area where the double portion of the Holy Spirit is coming from. We read that in Revelation. The walls of righteousness are hovering around and protecting it. We proved that from the scripture. But by the same token, I have built up many walls of unrighteousness, and they need to come crashing down. And walls, for some reason, seem to dwell in the innermost recesses of my mind, and they seem to be one of the last forces that are being attacked. And whatsoever things are pure and lovely and of good report are now in the attack front line, and we're being forced to deal with them. Okay. Now go back to Revelation 21:12, please. Are you with me? Now, this is a description. Now, there is so much in the city of Jerusalem, the walls, the gates, etc. That's not the purpose of this study. We want to discipline ourselves to look at walls that we might be set free and break down the walls that are hindering us, okay? So let's channel ourselves that way. In verse 12, now is describing the city, and it says, "And it had a wall great and high." Okay, the word "great" means it had, the wall was exceedingly mighty. That is a heavenly term, and it means to Jesus Christ has come that we might have abundant life. Hallelujah. We need, and somehow we need to instill this in our family relationships and in our children, in our every effort that we go forth, that God is not a God of condemnation, but He is a God of love, lifting us up into eternal life. In that deliverance, being set free from sin-filled habits, is not a torturous process of pain and anguish, although chastisement doesn't seem pleasant for the time. We need not to dwell, and we shouldn't teach in our family to dwell on the ugliness of the chastisement, but that we should look on the beauty of the joy of the Lord as our strength. Those of us who are priests in our home, we need to examine our priestly function. Are we so caught up in murdering the animal at the altar that we forget about the covering of the blood after the animal is murdered? And I think one of the dangers that we have in being perfected in Christ is that we are causing severe damage by concentrating so much on putting the knife or strangling the pigeon, the turtle dove. In other words, the crucifixion of the flesh. that we're forgetting the beauty of the result, the freedom of the result. In nurture and admonition of the Lord teaches, we explain why and how, and we accomplish. I mean, it means a lot more than that, but and that's the way the Father works. It says he chastises those whom he loves. Therefore, he incorporates his love. We need to channel that attitude towards ourselves. Because as we channel that attitude towards ourselves, we minister it then to our children. I am finding more and more, and Mom and John and Mary, I know you'll agree with me on this, that our children are afraid of going on in God because of the words that we speak and because of the actions that we give. Because we're so concerned about dealing with the action that we don't minister the result of the release of joy after the action. Okay? Am I making sense? I really don't want to get into a lot of that, but I just know we need to understand that. So we need to ask the Lord to give us a glimpse of the beauty of the joy of freedom as we go through these times of being set free from the ugliness of death. God, give us a taste of life. Let me grab a hold of the sweet fragrance of the life of heaven while I go through the process of stinking death. Hallelujah. Okay, we see that this city in Revelation 12, and this wall, I mean now, it's got 12 gates. And at the gates are 12 angels, and their names are written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. Name stands for nature. The 12 tribes are the original chosen ones to be the foundation of the presence in this earth of the glory of God. And they were given a promise that's not been yet fulfilled. They were given a promise that they would possess the land of milk and honey and live in that land in prosperity without the enemy obstructing them. Because of their disobedience, that has not been fulfilled yet. But here we see that these 12 apostles, or the 12 tribes, I mean, of the children of Israel, their nature is going to be, their evil nature is going to be overcome, and it says here that they are going to be the gateway to entering into the place of the pouring out of the double portion of the Holy Spirit. So you and I are going to be taken to a place where we are going to be perfected in all areas where the Israelites did not attain perfection. Because we have inherited, by virtue of the bloodline, we have inherited the sinful natures and curses that have been handed down from generation to generation. And we've been given the privilege of having freedom from them because Jesus became a curse for us. Isn't that right? Hallelujah. But we see that God is bound by His Word to bring us to a point where we are totally victorious or overcomers in that area. Hallelujah. And the seven churches minister along that line if we would get into it. And we see that the wall had 12 cities, and in them, notice it wasn't on them, but in them, that's the nature in them, the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And that is none other than those who have responded to the heavenly calling. Now, I want to back up for a second. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 1 to 6. I need to prove this from the Word. Seems to me that I haven't been a part of the meetings, of course, to know what's been ministered, but I've gathered a little bit that we all seem to be running kind of along the same line, don't we? And it's most interesting. Now, these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that ye might do them in the land whither ye go to possess it. Israel never possessed the land. They lived on the land, but they didn't possess the land. there was an enemy to be a thorn in their flesh continuously in the land because they didn't drive out the enemy as God had commanded it. So that scripture has never been fulfilled. Yet we see in Revelation 21, it must be fulfilled because that is the gateway to entering into the double portion of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. And the gate, if you go back to Jacob, you'll find out that the gate is the entrance to heaven. Hallelujah. That thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son's sons, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. You see, it was a thing that was to be handed down, but it wasn't. And so we have inherited it. Isn't that right? Okay. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee in the land that floweth with milk and honey. We are destined to live in a land flowing with milk and honey. Hallelujah. But God is the only one that can bring us into that land. Hallelujah. It cannot be any effort of our own other than voluntarily and willingly laying down and resting in the arms of God the Father and saying, Lord, I am willing to let you bring me there. Praise be to God. You do the paddling in the canoe, God. I'm going to ride. Okay? Okay, look at 1 Corinthians 3, 10 to 12. We'll bring it to a New Testament application. Praise the Lord. While you're digging that out, I'll refresh your memory on Revelation 21. And it says, the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. Remember, Jesus went into the wilderness for temptation. And actually, he went in there to show Satan that he had authority over him. Because at the end of his 40 days, and the Father had ministered to him, then Satan attacked him, and Jesus administered defeat to Satan in all areas. Satan knew that he could find no thing in him that was wrong. There was no darkness in him. Jesus said that later on. He said, behold, Satan, I think he said, Satan has searched me, and he could find no dark thing in me. That's my translation of it. And immediately after that time, Jesus then called his disciples, the ones who were chosen by God the Father, as Jesus, and then through Jesus Christ, to be the foundation of the beginning of the victorious church. And that's what Revelation 21 says. And 1 Corinthians chapter 3 now, as we get to that, starting with verse 11, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. We see that to dwell in the realm of the perfect pouring out of the Holy Spirit, come on now, wake up, bless you. Oh, that's, I understand well what you're going through. Just rebuke it. Ask for life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There is an anointing that will flow with this as we get into it. And it'll break the bondage of sleep even. But listen to this. Anything in the coming together of the body of Christ that's touched by man has to go. That means anything of me that wants to control the working of Jesus has to go. If it's not built on the foundation of Jesus Christ, we're not going to lose our salvation, but it's going to be consumed by fire. That's what the scripture says here. Okay. We can finish reading it so that we'll know. Come with me. Verse 13. But every man's work shall be made manifest. In other words, man's working shall come forth in a time when it will be tested to see whether it can stand the test of the heat of the fire. So we see that when man puts his hand to a ministry, it is a point of vulnerability that can be burned by fire, and God can't have it because he's going to pour forth his fire of rejuvenation upon this earth where he is establishing himself as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he must have a people who are protected from that fire where his glory is a defense. Do you understand now? Okay, so it's his mercy that is driving man's works out of the church. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. And I want to interject something here. We have a tendency to be very judgmental with our mouths and say, see, I told you so. I got convicted again at the breakfast or at the table this morning. We weren't having breakfast. We were sitting talking. And I caught myself saying something. And I thought, oh, God, forgive me. We have no right to issue any judgmental statement about any ministry. We can only do this one thing. And we weren't issuing judgment. We were just talking. But I'm just saying, even just talking borders. Because we heap coals of judgment upon ourselves. So if God is actually what is happening, is God in his mercy is dealing with all of us, including those who we think, aha, aha, I told you so, God's going to get them. And that's not right. But you see, it's in his mercy and his tender love that he's cleansing them from the things that they put their hand to. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. And he's telling us to come out of those things where man's hand is put to it. To get out of it, lest you be consumed and destroyed by the fire. Isn't that right? How are we ever going to get into walls? I don't know, but he'll lead us there. Be patient. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereon, he shall receive a reward. And that's God's business. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved. But how's he going to be saved? Yet so, as by fire. So, and then Matthew 13 and all of these other things get in there, and we could spend a whole week here. But I want you to tell that we're not going to escape the beautiful purging of God. Because we committed our life, and we said, Jesus, come into my life. And he made a covenant with us that we would be saved and we would receive abundant life. And salvation is not an instant overnight thing, but it is a process of delivering us into the realm of perfection where he lives. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Turn with me to Leviticus chapter 14. Now we get into the walls. But we needed that for a groundwork so that we might go on. And in verse, starting with verse 33, we'll look at about four or five verses here. We need to understand that there are good walls and bad walls. We've looked at the good wall. And what is the good wall? It is salvation. Okay? And salvation, if we can define it, once again, let's let it minister to us. If it doesn't go in heaven, then it's not a good wall. That's my simplistic way of looking at it. Because Jesus said, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. So a very simple way of looking at it is, if it doesn't go in heaven, it means somewhere along the line, an opportunity is going to come where God is going to drive it out of me. Okay? All right. Now, in Leviticus, what did I say? Chapter 14, verse 33. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, that's the priesthood now, when ye come into the land of Canaan, which I give to you for a possession, you and I have come into the land of Canaan by virtue of our salvation in the purpose of this teaching. We could teach it another way, but for the purpose of this teaching, we are living in a land where we have the privilege of the fullness of the Holy Spirit of God to be in action in our life. Okay? Do you believe that? Do you believe that the fullness of God can indwell you bodily and come forth? It takes mountain-moving faith for it to happen. But Jesus said if you'd have the faith of a mustard seed, it could happen. So it is a possibility, and that spurns me on because I want it. Hallelujah. Okay. You see, when we're ministering discipline as a priest in our house, both to ourselves and to our children, we need to instill within them that the discipline is not failure-oriented. In other words, you lousy kid, you're a failure. But instead, we are chastising you to bring you into a realm of beauty, a realm of victory. Hallelujah. We need to minister victory to ourselves. Let's quit ministering and programming ourselves that we are defeated people. We are not. Glory to God. And those walls that we're going to knock down today, you'll find every one of them are programmed at defeat. And we're going to put defeat under defeat. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Glory. Preaching like this sometimes borders on New Age, and we have to be so careful because they duplicate so much. You know, the power of positive thinking, successful living, etc. And I wrestle with this, and I say, oh my God, let us never fall into that trap. And He has good ways of keeping us humble, doesn't He? Okay, let's go on now. Now we're in this land, and I put the plague of leprosy in a house of the land of your possession. That's an odd statement by God. For God to say, I'm going to put a plague of leprosy in your land. But in its essence, what God is doing here is He's bringing forth the law of sowing and reaping, which has been in existence since the day of creation when man ate of the tree of the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil. Because then there was a sowing and reaping law that had to come forth. So in the land of Canaan, there is evil that must be dealt with in order to bring forth the good. Okay? And while we are dwelling in the land of our possession, we are committing acts which are sowing seeds of evil. And God needs to bring this to our attention in the form of He did it there in the form of leprosy, which is a type of sin. He made them aware that they had leprosy in their walls. Hallelujah. Let's look at that. Look at verse 35. And he that owneth the house. Well, I didn't finish 34. I put the plague of leprosy in a house of the land of your possession. I possess this land. It's given to me by God. Let me go back to, I've got to love this land. Don't you know you're the temple of God? And the Spirit of the Lord dwells within you? I wear it out. Because oftentimes, I don't see the Spirit of the Lord as worthy, as me being worthy of dwelling in there. And then He says to me, you aren't. Your righteousness is as filthy rags. But I loved you first, so you could love me. Oh, praise the Lord. Stand and praise Him. Hallelujah. Thank you for loving me first. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Thank you for loving me, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Unconditional love. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for loving me. Thank you, Jesus, that you required no thing of me. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Now, if you turn around and be seated, then you'll be awake too. Hallelujah. I didn't do it for that reason, but it just hit me. Should we do about 50 laps, brother? Huh?
This is the end of Part A. Please play Part B. Thank you. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.